question. If the Paratantra contains all of the seven vinyanas, what effect then does the Parinisvana have on manas?
Once the Parinisvana is achieved, so to speak, the whole system changes. So that although there is a flow, it's of a quite different kind. So later Yogacara said that at the turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness, at the Parivritti, when the manas ceases to take the alaya as its object, the eight vijnanas are replaced by the five jnanas. So this, in a way, what's being said is that the eight vijnanas describe our unenlightened experience. Enlightened experience is so different that it's best talked about in a different framework. So to that extent, the what's going on is could have to be described differently. But there would still be, whilst there is the structure of a psychophysical organism, there would still be a flow of experience, even if it's from viewed from the Parinisvana point of view, as simply a flow of experience without independent subject and object. But that has profound implications for the whole structure of experience.
In some places, Patrick talks sort of poetically about enlightenment being the first point on the horizon, the implication being that you move further to
right.
The
horizon,
enlightenment moves as well. Mm. It's kind of a linearistic model, whereas this is quite discrete. The way I've understood it, at the turning takes place.
A change is initiated. It's a traditional Buddhist framework in which there's a presentation of a linear progression and a marked transition.
But that marked transition is not the end of the process, although there is a theoretical end point, if you see what I mean, as in all traditional Buddhism. So there's obviously a point at which the parakalpita... You decisively begin to experience things as just experience, and you don't keep on habitually reconstructing an eye and an object. And that presumably is the point that we would know of as stream entry in other discourses.
Would that assume a continuous sense of awareness in order to be aware of this continuous flow of experience? It'd have to be that continuous thread of awareness.
Right, yeah, you would be conscious of the nature of experience all the time. The further you've made that transition, the less effort is required to maintain it. So that eventually it's entirely spontaneous. You just don't see things in terms of a fixed subject and object anymore.
So you did that in the Parikalpita and Parinisvana, that there is the self there, but in the case of Parinisvana, it's been transcended.
Yes, there's a self in the sense that there is an inward, there's an inward perceiving dimension to experience. It's not that, when you've seen things as they are, when you're seeing them from the point of view of the Parinisvana, that all your experience is out there and there's nothing in here, or no experiencer or perceiving aspect. That still continues. But you don't read that as a permanent I outside. But yeah, it's not that at that point you become just a generality, if you see what I mean.
The globule,
yes. No doubt there would be a personality to some extent, right? And that's quite explicit in tradition, that different Buddhas have different characters and different kinds of enlightened being and stream entrance and so on. So that there is still, insofar as there's a manifestation within space and time and a flow of conditions, they are going to be particular. But you're not going to read into that something that does not exist, something that's extra to it.
And there's not the attachment there.
There's no attachment, yeah. That's, of course, the chief point in the end. We're not just dealing with a cognitive business. We're dealing with strong affect, strong attachment. The mistake of Parikalpita is not merely a cognitive mistake, it's also a kleshic mistake, if you see what I mean. It's also an emotional or It's a mistake at that level. It's a strong feeling of attachment. You remember we saw that going with the cognitive, the ignorance and the views, there's also pride and self-attachment. So that parikalpita is strongly affective. And parinishpana, correspondingly, is freedom from those particular forms of attachment. Well, from attachment, although it's, of course, replaced by the emotional equivalent, which is compassion.
If a Buddha has a unique character, then does that come from the earlier?
Come from?
Yeah.
Well, yes, because there's a distinction made, isn't there, between nirvana with and without a substrate of rebirth. I can't remember what the Pali is, but, and you probably don't want to know either. While the Buddha continues, according to traditional Buddhism, to have a body, then there will be a particular character and manifestation within space and time. To manifest within space and time is to be particular. You can't manifest in a general sort of way, if you see what I mean. You've got to be somewhere being something and not something else. So the Buddha is bound to be something in particular, and that is bound to be based on the conditions that are brought to that point. So, for instance, the Buddha himself was born in North India, so he spoke particular languages and had particular cultures and customs, and so on. You don't sort of, at the point of enlightenment, become, yes, a sort of a generalized, non-specific sort of... Well, can't say what, yeah. Huh? Smell, yeah. Well, smell is very particular. Globule, yes, I think that's the best way.